We're going to enter, we're going to read this out, okay? Who's a good reader in here?
Sam is.
You a good reader?
I don't have my glasses.
Okay.
I don't have pride, so I can't.
Yeah.
God opposes everyone who is proud, but he is kind to everyone who is humble. Surrender to God, James 4:6-7. Continue.
Go ahead, yeah.
We often make plans without even consulting God. Then we pray and ask God to bless our plans, even though we didn't even ask Him to take part in them. You're disrupting the reading. This is a very good friend. I'm sorry. Me and God have like a funny thing going on. Okay, then our plans don't happen on the timetable that we want, or they don't happen at all. We get angry with God. That's called pride, and God hates pride. There are probably a lot of people who wouldn't want to oppose, like Mahoney. But really, you don't want to be opposed by God. There's no way you're going to win that one. When you're prideful, the Bible says you're in opposition to God at that very moment. Oops. In fact, you're operating as an enemy of God anytime you get full of pride. That's how serious it is. So what does it mean to surrender yourself and your plans to God? Everybody with me? Romans 6:13. I didn't know what other people read. Give yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And surrender your whole being to Him to be used for righteous purpose. I don't know. Surrendering means saying, God, I'm going with your plans for my life and not my own. I've got plans, I've got dreams, I've got goals, I've got ambitions, but I know that you put me on this earth for a purpose. And I'm going to intentionally choose your plan for my life instead of my own. Surrendering to God is the best path to success, because instead of Him becoming part of your plan, He will make you a part of His plan.
Like it?
There's some areas to talk about. I'm just saying, because we're sharing them. What areas of your life do you need? I'm talking me, not him. What areas do you need to surrender to God? I confess right this second. Now, you know, he made a point 2 years ago, and I thought it was a joke. I would have a cigarette. You know what? I can't stop the stupid things now. It's like, what the heck? So right now, I surrender those cigarettes and become accountable. You guys say, hey, are you smoking? I had two this week. But even sniffing somebody else's smoke, you see it? That's an area you can surrender.
Well, let me ask a question. Okay. What is pride?
Okay.
What's pride?
Opposite of humility.
Pardon me?
The opposite of humility.
What's that mean?
Come on, expand on that.
I'll do it my way, Frank Sinatra. Isn't that what it is? I did it my way, and probably I did it my way.
And then where is he today?
Frank, I just talked to him going to the Clear Voice channel.
If he did it his way, where is he? Bet you wouldn't sing it on his deathbed.
What's pride? You know, we're going around it, but what is pride?
Pride is the original sin. Satan said, I'm going to be like God, and I was prideful.
Amen.
Exalting our wills and ambitions and thoughts above God.
Like we're all that and this, all right?
Yeah.
Actually, it's an overemphasis of yourself.
All that is a bag of chips.
Say that again?
It's an overemphasis of yourself, because low self-esteem can also be a form of pride.
Oh, yeah. You know, and that is a great... great statement right there.
And here's
low self. Hold on. Let's expand on what he said. Low self-esteem is a form of pride.
Mm-hmm.
Low self-esteem. I like that.
Both are types of selfishness.
What was that, sir?
Because both are a type of selfishness.
I like that.
Here's a revelation. Every sin that you can name, put a name to, the root cause of it is pride.
Amen. It is. You know, so many times, you know, like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, and we're going to plan, and just like the thing with Staley here, that I'm going to do all this. But then we put him in the plan. And if it doesn't work and it doesn't happen, well, you know, where's God? Where is he? You know, we want to blame him for something that didn't happen or didn't work, but then we include him in the beginning. You know, we got all these great and wonderful ideas, but yet, is he in it? If he's in it, pardon me?
Wasn't God's plan.
But it wasn't, because, you know, okay, we have a dream, a vision, and all that. You know, this week when he came in to the shop, and, you know, he's showing the Packer and all that other stuff, and one of the first things that came into my spirit was, what does God want? What does God want? You know, what we want, like, he wanted off the thing, put a new chassis, put motor and all that other stuff, which is a good idea, it's okay, but I'm just saying, what does God want? Because I saw something different in there in my spirit, that is a phenomenal vehicle and a great testimony. And so, you know, so sometimes we start to do something, and are we in God's will? And if we are in God's will, God's provision is there. Amen? God's provision is there if we're in his will. I mean, when I started ministry years ago, apparently it had to be God's will, because I closed down a business to do what he called me to do. And with that, being obedient, he made provisions. He opened doors. We had stuff that planned. It was falling out of the sky. And we were able to do a lot of things. Why? Because we were in his will. And not our perfect, our permissive will, you know, or we have to be in his will, what he wants. And I think as men, we were very prideful. Very prideful. You know, how do we treat our wives? How do we treat other people that, you know, am I that and all and a bag of chips? No, we humble ourselves before God, you know. There's a story in Luke, what was it? Luke chapter 14, I got it right here if I can see. But it's talking about the priests went to the wall to pray, right? There's a priest and then there's the beggar, or the, you know, and he's out there humbly, I am not worthy of thee. And then what's the guy saying? You know, I am not like this guy here. He was exalting himself over everything and everybody. And sometimes what we do is instead of focusing on God, we focus on what we did or what I did. Even our businesses, the things that we do in business. Is that God or is that pride? Is that pride? I mean, I have my business and all that, and you know, hey, I love it. And I tell you why I liked it. See, I wasn't Sam. Sam. I was Sam.
The man.
The businessman. Sam, the body man. That people will come, hey, Sam, that's a good guy over there. Well, he does good work and all that. And so what does that do, man? That kind of patted in the back, right? Yeah, oh man, I do good work, right? You know? And so when we start taking all the accolades and storing up in our head, then we come through these doors, we can't walk in here because our head is so full, because we think of ourselves as all that and then some. But you know, whatever we do it unto the Lord. And it's because he gave us the ability. He given us the talents to do what God called us to do. You know, when they were building the temple, I love the story on there. That what did God do? God called all the masons. He called the brick workers. He called all the carpenters and everything. Everyone had a talent and the gifting that God gave them. And so sometimes we get above ourselves And we think we're all that, you know? And you guys work a lot in the streets, in the ministry, you know? We are no better than those folks out there.
There's a real fine line between God might give you an idea to do something, but before it's completed, you go mess it up. And then you go, wait a minute, I felt for sure that you wanted me to do this.
Yeah.
Or sometimes he gives you things and it's like putting a frog in the water and turning the heat on. He's going to stay there because he's going to acclimate to that flame.
Mm-hmm.
If you throw him in there when the water's hot, he's going to jump out. And getting old maturely, but you know, when we first got into the ministry, for some reason, anywhere I went, maybe it was because we were on the news, who knows, but anywhere, first nobody wanted nothing to do with us. As soon as we started getting on the news, they started coming out of the woodwork and overwhelming us and trying to vie for positions in the ministry and trying to, they called it tithing. It was trying to pay certain people off to give them positions of authority in the ministry and stuff. And what they were doing was just trying to take control of it because of the notoriety they were getting.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, we were told by these same people, from the same churches anyway, I put it together where these people were coming from, but we were being told, you have no business doing what you're doing, and we're like, no business doing what? Giving blankets to people that are cold, giving shoes to people that have no shoes. And so what happened was the news anchor went on TV and challenged all of them and asked them, why is there, and he named off how many registered Church One Christians there were in Springfield, and why are these six people the ones in the alleyways at night giving out blankets and stuff? And that's when everybody flooded us. That's when we got given the Packard. That's when the Hershams that owned Silver Dollar City went and bought us an old Dairy Queen, because we had so much food. We had truck drivers bringing truckloads of food to us from Kansas City, and they would just ask us for whatever we could give them. If it was $10, if it was $100 to help with gas, we had so much food that the rats were getting into it. And so we would drive around at night and set boxes of food on people's porches. And we still couldn't get rid of it quick enough. So we went and started giving it to all the food closets. Finally, I had so many things, so much. Anyway, I found myself getting addicted to what I could get given to us.
Yeah.
I had Walmart giving us bicycles. I had never been involved in any kind of Christian community. So this was all like on me, dumped like a bucket. And I'm thinking, wow, cool. Everybody gives us anything we want.
Right.
And so I've been going around finding myself bragging about, look what I just got from so-and-so. Look what we just got from, man, we're growing. And
so you started off right.
Yeah, and I finally realized that you can't tell somebody here. I started realizing, man, you're focused more on what you can acquire. I'm the acquisitioner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, I found that pretty soon, it wasn't God giving me this stuff, it was me going out and getting people to give it to me.
Amen.
And after we had to just get rid of everything, and me and him moved off to Bozeman, Montana. And it just took a lot of meditation out in Yellowstone Park for me to, people overwhelmed me coming at us with, you know, like what I was telling you about the seagulls. If the seagull will come up and go,
I like that.
You go,
good.
Okay, here, buddy, and throw him a piece of your sandwich. Well, suddenly the rest of the seagulls all land and go, and so you go, okay, fellas, and you throw them each a little piece of your sandwich, and you go, but I'm going to eat this piece. They will all rise up to about head level and try to find a way to crap on you because you kept yourself a little piece.
Right.
And people will come at 3 o'clock in the morning once they know where you live, beating on your door. Oh, I need. And pretty soon when you have to, you know, and you tell them no, then they start cursing you.
Right.
And I'm not beyond provoking.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
That's pretty perfect.
So, yeah, so there's been many people that I've had to scuffle with, and then after we scuffle, then they learn to respect me, that I'm not going to be taken advantage of or played games with.
Right.
Some people don't. They go on to continue to hate you because you didn't give them your last morsel. And finally, I had enough, and we took that Packard and just parked it at the fire chaplain's driveway and took off. That was 20 years ago.
Wow.
And we left it sitting there. It's in this neighborhood that's got a big, strong meth hold on it. My point being is that it's real easy to get caught up in yourself and think that you're doing it. And then when things start falling apart, just like you said, why are you allowing this to happen now, God?
Ozzy, yeah. Right.
No, I was just saying everything he's saying, revert back to your lesson, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's pride. You know, I went to a meeting yesterday, and I haven't been to these meetings in a long time because I'm slowly getting back into the system, because after I closed the ministry down, you kind of pull away, the heck with this, you don't want to do nothing. But then, if you want to do something, you gotta put your ear to the ground to hear the heartbeat of what's going on in the community. And so, before you, so they asked me, for example, I'm not ready to do anything. I said, I just want to see what's going on. What are people doing, and what are the needs in the community? Because, we could jump in. There's always a need. Whatever you do, there's a need. But, learning from our mistakes, the things that we've done is, we want to be in, not in our permissive will, but the perfect will of God. And when we're in the perfect will of God, God will direct us and God will lead us into what He wants. And then what He wants, He will provide. He will support. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now. I said, what is it that God wants right now? I don't want Sam to get involved. I don't want my ideas, my this, my that, because what does that do? It's my. Isn't that what Satan did? When God, and over here in Hebrew 2:7, it says, before God created the earth, He created angels, right? And the angels were all beautiful. But then here's Lucifer. That he wanted, he saw the all the accolades and all the glory that they're giving God. And so what did the devil do? Hey, I want to be like that too. I want people to give me glory. Give me the pat to my back. I want that. And so because of that pride, then what did he do? He fell. And how many of us have done that in our lives? We want those accolades. We want that pride, And it's human nature. But we got to watch human nature.
It's Adamic
nature. I like that. I love that. Because here's the deal. That as men, how prideful are we? If we're married, am I all that and then some?
Yeah.
I rule the roost.
Yeah.
I'll tell her when to come and go, when to sit, what to say. Man, I had a gun pulled on my face, one of my ex-wife, and a knife at that too. In ministry, I could honestly say I tried as best as I can. We all fall short, but because I didn't want as me as God. Oh man, look what you're doing, man! I ain't doing jack. I don't have the ability. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the training. I don't have nothing. But just being obedient to what God wants, right? Elsie,
I was so blessed. When I got saved, I was reading through the Bible, and it said, God uses the foolish things of the world to compile the wise. I said, hey, that's me.
That's me.
He can use me,
Amen.
And
Amen.
Look back since.
And that's kind of the way I look at foolish things, man. Yeah. God gives us all abilities of somehow. For example, you're a businessman. When you started in the junkyard. You're still in the Go behind his car, behind his shop.
Remnants.
He got the remnants there. But the thing is that when he started, he, you know, it was a process of learning. And those things that he learned, which are helping him today, because this man sells stuff that I wouldn't give you a dime for it. And he gets good money for it, you know, because he knows his where. He knows his stuff. But you know what? If we are men of God, the closest thing that we could do is be close to God and not about me. Because you could tell who is by their speech, their talk. You know, they got to be in the front seat and all that. Now, when it comes to doing ministry, you know, when I get out there in ministry, you know what? If I'm going to come here in the morning, and which we've been meeting here, we've been meeting together for 20 years, there's a purpose. Every one of us that come in here, there's a purpose. We all have issues. We have something. And hopefully, you know, some of the things that we do, the conversations that we have, are edifying and building to the body, to the men. Because we need those encouragements. There are people that come in here that are going through stuff. They hurt. And so, why are we here? Why do we call this a marketplace ministry? Why? Because we all have issues and you got a safe place to talk. You know, hey, I'm going through. Say it the way it is. If that's what the way you speak, man, we've had our 12-step programs, recovery programs. I usually allow the guys a couple of times to use the only way they could express themselves. But then after that, I says, you know, I heard you, babe. My ears are hurt, though, you know. Watch your tongue, because one thing that we know, y'all know, everybody, all of us, especially doing street, is respect. If people don't respect who you are, they're not even going to hear you. If they don't respect the man, the God that is in you, they're not going to hear you. So there's a respect that has to be set forth, because otherwise you can't let people just take advantage, take over. But, you know, and that's not being prideful, that's being an order. God is a God of order, not a disorder. And so, you know, that's why. But this thing about pride, man, you know, many of us fall short of that. And we may not even know it.
That's right. That's what I was just thinking. That you don't know it, like that frog being in the water.
Yeah.
You don't know it because it starts happening slowly. It starts out with a small pat on the back. Hey, that was pretty cool what you went and accomplished. And yes, it compelled you to go accomplish more.
Yeah.
But then pretty soon, that's what I said, there's that fine line.
Yeah.
When are you congratulating yourself away from Jesus?
Right.
And Satan can use that to work on you and cause you to back away.
Right.
Because he'll make you start questioning your own motives.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
So all you can do is just continue. I mean, if you start questioning yourself too much, you're not going to go do nothing. So it's better if you're questioning yourself, recognize it for what it is, but don't let it stop you. Go ahead and continue moving forward and just pray for God to continue to reveal to you when you're getting like that. But
Amen. But
Satan will grab a hold of it and try to use it to convict you and go, see there, you ain't working.
Right.
You're an embarrassment. And that fault takes me back to what we were talking about Michael Sparrow the other day. The guy that I told you we got the
every time you say Sparrow, I keep thinking about the pirate. Go ahead.
Well, if two men that were addicted to heroin, they were fornicators, they were murderers, and they were drunkards.
Mm-hmm.
And the preacher speaks to them, and both of them listen to him. And one of them suddenly there's a flash of light, and he doesn't have any more desire for any of those drugs or anything, and he's completely cleansed of all of them. Michael Sparrow, on the other hand, he doesn't have a desire for heroin no more. He's not the killer that he was no more. He's still the alcoholic, though.
Yeah.
Okay? God left him with the alcoholism. So here he is laying in the gutter, drunk, thrown up in the gutter, and going, thank you, Jesus, I love you.
Wow.
And the other guy standing there going, what's wrong with you, Michael? I got set free.
Yeah.
Why are you? You can't be set free because you're still laying there drunk in that gutter. And other people are going, that's a Christian? Yeah, well, he's not laying there saying, God set me free from alcoholism. He's laying there puking, saying, thank you, Jesus, that I don't still have the heroin addiction right. along with this. And thank you that I don't still, and he can go tell the heroin addict that yeah, Jesus set me free from that heroin, but I'm not going to stand here and tell you how to get set free, that I've been set free from the alcohol. That doesn't make him unsaved. It doesn't make him, he's still trying to do his part, even if all he was doing was picking up a rock with a felt pen and writing three crosses on it and writing Jesus wept, Satan lost, and putting it back on the ground for somebody walking along later on to stumble across and plant the seed. I've been thinking all night about our conversation about Michael, because I hadn't even thought of him in years until I was talking to you. And you expressed to me, you know, your kind of indignation for people that are using the cross as a crutch. But it's not always a crutch, because like I said, you never know what hells that man has gone through.
Right.
What videos he walks around playing in his head all day of atrocities that may have occurred in his life, the loss of loved ones, physical things being done to him, whatever, who knows? You know, the list goes on. But you know what? He's a better drunk laying in the gutter thanking Jesus than he is than some people that are not drunk that are walking on 2 feet. He's better laying there drunk thanking Jesus than he is the guy who got relieved of all those addictions that's standing there mocking him now because he didn't get the same grace.
Every one of us, you know, especially in our ministry we've been in for, you know, again, we're dealing with that because I wanted to find out. Actually, I want to find out who you were, you know.
I know.
And because of that, you know, it's because it's.
I was that homeless guy that was out running around.
Well, to me, you know what? I've been at this a long time. You know, I get a bunch of weird people coming up in there. You know,
I wasn't kidding when I said that I do that on purpose, because if people can't accept me looking like that, then I got no.
Yeah.
I move on.
But again, okay. So we're talking about ministry and we're talking about pride. And so, first of all, who am I to judge? But you know, you gotta even that drunk guy that's doing those street crossings. Y'all know that song that you sing, Elsie? Three wooden crosses, I love that. And you know, who am I? Who made me? Who died and made me God? You know what I'm saying? That even that guy right there, you know, is sharing the gospel. There's been more salvations in a bar, at the end of the bar. And if someone is talking, you know, they're kind of, you know, who am I? I don't know what guy uses. Got to use a rock. Got to even, you know, even use Sam here, you know. And so who are we? But the point is, how are we? How is our spirit? Who are you? I mean, who am I? But what I am, who God called me to do. And do I call people into, do I check people? Yes, I check. I have to check. Because you know what? I'm not God and all that, but I ain't got time. I only got X amount of time left in here. I ain't got too much time to make wow. What am I going to do? God, what do you want me to do? So it's not about pride. It's about serving him and what he wants us to do. You know, I could be up in the limelight, or I could be down here sweeping the floor.
That's right. And you can't always be the same thing that man is.
No. Or
and that's what people do, is they try to measure their worth by equal to this man's works.
Yeah.
And if not, then hey, you need to step up to the plate, buddy, because well, you know, not everybody goes around announcing what they what their works are and what they
and you know what? Done. And see that, those I see like I'm dealing with Sam. Y'all gotta deal with yourself. But I'm dealing with Sam. See, this Sam here has to realize that, you know, sometimes we identify ourselves. When I have my business, I'm Sam the body man, executive car prep. That's my business. Sam the body man. And you know, so this is who I am. And the people, you know, I had a good reputation with that, did good work. But then you got into prideful where I look what I did. I always say we. I always do. I always say we. Sometimes I say I. And when I say I gotta watch myself, because I could not have done what I've done if it wasn't for LZ and all these individuals that were partners in what God had called us to do. And so, but when that I comes in, I have to stop. You said I a few minutes ago. And that I is a pride. It's not I, it's we. I can't do nothing unless God take me. Now, there is something that I have to do in order to humble myself and be used by God. You know, I got people like the gentleman right over there that said that has helped me so much. And I like when people get in my face. You know, because if you don't get in my face, what kind of friend are you? That's why I get him in his face all the time, the guy with the bandana. You know, because I love him. And if I did not love him, I wouldn't even waste my time with him. You know?
Right, well, there's a difference between approaching somebody in love and going, hey, you know, I noticed blah, 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 versus going, hey, man, I noticed you were.
Yeah.
What kind of, and like what you said about what that cop told you, what kind of pastor are you?
Yeah.
Well, my question would have been, what kind of Christian are you to accuse me then?
That's it.
Well, one thing that's kind of been placed on my heart, especially the past couple weeks, and especially as we're going into like a political season, as Christians, how often in casual conversation on social media...
Excuse me, he's talking like that.
Are we posting stuff that if an unbeliever that's either in our life or who doesn't even know us, if they just overheard it or saw what we're posting, would just be turned off from the gospel just like that because of what we're sharing or, or saying in casual conversation?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, James talks about the tongue, and now back then, the tongue was basically just verbal, but nowadays, more of our conversation is online on social media, sharing these pictures and memes and stuff. And
yeah, I was on there for a little while on Facebook, and pretty soon I just got freaked out by what I was getting told.
And you were going to say, yeah, go ahead.
Listen, I'm going to curve the emotion back. I found out a white adjective is not a real name.
Excuse me?
I think so. The thing I'm going to say is, after 47 years in Vietnam, I'm glad I met you and your son. And you look very good. That he would arrest probably or something. But, you know, I lay on my bed. I'm trying not to get emotional. And I say, Lord, and he goes, you know, did you do your best? And I said, yeah, you know. But he said, then don't forget the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that brings people into the kingdom. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts or convicts and so. And I know, I thought, man, I just looked at the girl, I go, I said, God, I like the drunk. Who here with skin on their body don't have an Adamic nature that is sick? And I said, God, but what about the promises and this, and my wife is going to come back to my church? He said, you forget one small thing. First, the fallen state of man, which I was a promised man. You say, you get it, you know, I got mercy, you know, the whole deal. But I forgot about the fallen state of man that will always have a propensity to screw up. I want it, I'm going to get it. And then you're now forgetting the other thing is why you have this fellowship. Eternity, and that's only by the Holy Spirit. I'm saved only by Jesus hanging on that cross. The simplicity. I'm a Billy Graham, whatever you call those people, hang on. And his message back in 72 was about a pig. The guy stole the jelly beans. 72, I can remember that. And the devil puts out a jelly bean, and that little pig, he wants to eat it. You're not a follower. He says, "What? What do you think? I hate cigarettes. I hate this. But what do I love? I love Jesus. And that nature is contrary. And I say, okay, Holy Spirit. He says, you know what? I already love you. I already have fellowship with you. I adore you because he's paid the price, hasn't he? And this is your baby son.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a little baby, 6 years old, but you say, hey, God, I'm off the path. Right? You were convicted about the Packard, is what I'm saying. And I'm not Puerto Rican, but I do talk. The issue I'm trying to get to is, hey, you know what, I had the, brothers, I need accountability, that's what this is. And I had the most hellacious day with a friend of mine, whose name Tate, you met him, you know Paul Tate. Holy God, can you pick somebody else, God, that I can be a friend with? I mean, I'm not desperate anymore. I got money, I got card, why can't I just get on my sailboat and get the hell out of here? Right, Kathy?
Absolutely. absolutely.
I knew what you said, though.
This is not a take.
Well, it's not a take.
This is real, man. You jump in the car. I go, oh, don't fall for that again. I jump in the car. We come over here. I didn't even get a cup of coffee. I can't even use the bathroom. He's gone here. We go, man. We get this ruckus. Monstrous ruckus. You know, he goes out there and finally gets a penis out here.
Okay.
Right? I said, Jesus, you gotta be kidding. Crazy. No windshield wipers. Broken down girl on the side. He goes, ah, oh, we should never even stop. Why I'm saying this is, was that Christ? That's my Holy Spirit. Yes, this is the poor little girl on the side of the road in that rain. The jack fell off. It was chaos, right? It wasn't a blessing. And God's telling me, Philip, will you see your son and daughter on the other side? And yet, 4 and 5 years old, he got saved. That's my promises. I have pride, but I also have this. And I wasn't coming today. So what am I getting to? I need to get re-entry into the straight world of... Man. Say those words after me. I'm done.
Elgin.
What?
Re-entry
is tough. Yeah.
What's that?
You had something to say.
Yeah. You had something to say.
Everything we go through is for a reason. And if you get yourself in a bad situation, you have to stop and say, did I do this or did God get me here? And 9 times out of 10, when you're in a bad situation, God ain't in it. You took a wrong turn somewhere, but the thing about it is, God always allows you turns.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know how many times in my walk, I've been heading the wrong way, thinking I'm going.
Does anybody know who the head of that
is? Let him finish speaking. You're interrupting.
This guy lost $3 million. They had the Good Samaritan. I knew him. The guy I had my house with. The Good Samaritan of God. He got this, all the ships and all this. So halfway through, he's got $3 million into that Good Samaritan. You know the ship. I can't remember his name now. All of a sudden, everything did like that. And God said to him, he shared this at a meeting, and God said to him, are you doing this or am I doing this? And they just had to shut the whole thing down and lost that $3 million. And everybody donated that because they had got off on their own path. I can't really have to go.
All right.
I love you too.
Yes, you do.
All right.
I wasn't going to get emotional.
No, I was just saying, you know, sometimes I can be going headstrong in this direction, just think I'm doing what God's, and I hit a brick wall and realize that was me. How did I miss you, God? But you know, you pray and you seek, and he goes, yeah, you took a left and I wanted you to go right, you know, and you go back and you get it right and you send in his direction again. And I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me in 40 years I've been saved, but thank God he still allows me to turn around.
Yeah. Last night, you know, this is not I, but you know, this is what happened last night. I went to a meeting, met a guy, nice guy, who oversees the YMCA at High Point. A lot of people there, right? And so we finished, we're talking. Well, he has a flat tire. And so he got all three bolts off because he had a four with four lugs in there, except the one, because that one had the chrome cap on it, and the thing wouldn't fit in there, wouldn't do anything. So we went a couple of times, went to my house, and finally I said, look, I had enough of this noise, I got to go. So it was about 9:30 last night or 10. Everybody's gone, everybody's left. And then I was thinking about, and I have to, that I thing has to be careful. But I was thanking God that I was able to be that Samaritan to help that guy in that lonely spot, like what you were saying. And we just knocked that cap off, took that socket and just rammed that into that thing, and we took it off. And so, you know, and this poor guy didn't know anything about it. But just the point was, I just first met him. And I thank God that I was able to be there. Then, the other thing, I thank God that I was able to, that I helped. Because I can be a jerk. I can be a jerk.
You know?
And not to say I am, but anyway, about again, is that, you know, again, the pride. We have, you know, as men, it's not I, it's he. It's not what I did. Look what God allowed me to do. Look what he trained me, gave me the ability to do this. You know, some guys are great with carpentry. I can't cut a straight line. You know, some people are gifted in different things. But it's God that, that gives the gifts. God that gives the talents.
You were saying something earlier about, you know, how it's easy to get a big head and said by yourself, oh, you're such a great body man, you paint cars, beautiful and stuff. But I found when people come to praise you, if you'll deflect that, you know, I've had people call me good. I say, ain't nothing good in me. If there's anything good in me, it's Jesus. That's it.
But you know what I mean?
So you give him the glory, you deflect it up to him. That way it don't stick to you.
But here's something. You got to watch on false humility.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, there is
false humility.
There is that, for sure.
Yeah, because sometimes... When you know, when some
people that are humble and proud of it.
Yeah. Well, some people give you a compliment. You know, somebody gives you a compliment, and a lot of times, like I was doing a thing last night. They give you a compliment, and you don't take it because you know I'm all this no.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, yeah. So that could be false humility.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, and that's Satan working on it, trying to make you feel guilty for being complimented.
Yeah.
But see, I went to this church one time where they forbid anybody to. They would have this little girl go up and sing. Nobody's allowed to clap when she's done.
Nobody's allowed to clap. Nobody's allowed to say, "Oh, I loved your voice," anything like that. You're not
really.
And yeah, that was one of the first churches I went to, and I was like, "What are these people doing?" I knew right away that wasn't right. It's not right to not clap for the little girl
who put up their
heart out.
Yeah.
Right, that's discouraging.
Yeah.